This, what's your name?
Brian.
Brian. Where are you from, Brian? What church are you part of? Sikara Rekete. There's a strong prophetic anointing on your life. And there will come a day that others will recognize you as a prophetic voice. You won't call yourself a prophet. I'm always leery of people that call themselves things. But others will begin to recognize and identify. Because your eyes are going to be opened and your ears are going to be opened. And you're going to see into the Spirit. And you'll prophesy to kings. You'll prophesy to those in authority. You'll prophesy to people all around the world. I need a steward to get behind him. Because the power of God's moving in this place right now. And Brian, you will declare the word of the Lord to the children of influential men and women who have congenital diseases, and they'll put them in your hands and they'll be healed. And you'll prophesy the word of the Lord, and it'll give you favor with kings and queens. And you'll travel to many lands, and you'll speak the word of the Lord in many places. Because God's favor is on you, Brian. And you will advance the kingdom in many places. Hey, Rasakata, Rekete, Lokoton Doroba, Zekarabase Keterebo. I hear the Lord saying, I'm turning it around. This is the year of the big turnaround. You were headed in one direction. And God's turned you around. Circumstances were going one way, but God's turning it around. Things looked bad, but God's turning it around. And no matter what it looked like, you kept the smile on your face. You kept the joy of the Lord. And people didn't know what to do with you. But now they're going to come say, oh, I get it now. She was just believing God by faith. Woo. Oh. Oh, surely the goodness of the Lord will follow you all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Surely you'll eat from the table of the Lord day and night. Surely, 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 surely. The children are going to gather around you. They're going to gather around you. They're going to come. I see children gathering around you. And I see you. God's going to give you a tremendous ability to tell stories. You're going to be a great storyteller and a great story writer. And you're going to speak to the children in stories. And they're going to understand kingdom, very deep kingdom principles from very simple stories. I just see the Lord gathering the children. And you give them stories that last their lifetime. So I just release the stories in you. Whew. Oh. And there's been a heavy weight on you. It's been heavy. It's been heavy. But you're going to trade the heavy burden of life for the heavy glory of God. The heavy burden of life for the heavy. That's what the word glory means, is weight. And you're going to trade. You're going to trade the heavy burdens of life for the heavy glory of God. And your burden is going to be light. And your yoke is going to be easy. But the manifest presence of God on your life is going to be heavy. 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 You're a carrier. You're a carrier of God's glory. You're a carrier. You're a carrier of the glory. anybody here from Burton-on-Trent? Lift your hands. The glory of God's falling on Burton-on-Trent. This is the year of the manifest presence of God in Burton-on-Trent. This is a year for God to break out in Burton-on-Trent. Ho! You can be seated. I should have told you that a while ago, but you're so English, you would have just stood forever. The Lord is, He's healed you. He's healed your heart that was broken and shattered into many pieces long ago. And He put it back together piece by piece by piece by piece. But now He's handing you the resources, needle and thread, glue, to go and heal many broken hearts. But when they're healed, you'll still be able to see where the cracks were, because that makes a mosaic. And it'll be beautiful because every piece and every color God redeems. And He makes it beautiful. There's a guy you're praying for. There's a he that you've been believing God for. And God says, just give him to me. Give him to me. Give him to me. Keep praying, but trust me. Because as you take your hands off, I put my hands on, says the Lord. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just see. And God says, what the enemy meant for evil, I turned for good. And I never intended it to happen. But I used it. Because I'm an intentional God. I'm intentional. Just sing that over her, Stephen.
He's intentional. Never failing. All things are working for your good.
That's God speaking to you.
He's intentional.
God says, I'm intentional.
He's intentional. Never failing. You don't have to worry, because it's working for you. It's working for you.
God's singing that over you. He's declaring it over you. To wonder what does my future hold? What am I going to do? And Daddy God just says, Lauren, don't worry about what you're going to do. Just let me help you become all that I want you to become, and you'll do everything you're supposed to do. And He just wanted to say that He thinks you're beautiful. that you're just perfect the way you are because He made you. And you're the apple of Daddy God's eye. And He's going to lead you to the right schools and uni and all the things. He'll lead you. And one day He'll lead you to the right, many, many, many years from now, your dad says, to the right guy. But you don't have to be like anybody else. Just be you. Because God loves, He likes you too, but He loves the way you are. He doesn't just love you, He loves the way you are. He loves your personality. He loves the things that other people don't understand about you. He thinks it's wonderful. Jesus. Thanks, guys. Didn't they do a fantastic job tonight? Can you just, Stephen, just stay with me for a minute. Let these other guys sit down, but I'm going to make him work. I want to unpack a prophetic word, but God's Spirit rides on sound. So I rarely do this, but I'm just going to let Him play for a minute while I just unpack a prophetic word to you. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version because I just think there's some more prophetic stuff God wants to do even over some individuals tonight. For those of you that don't know, let me just say this is my friend Stephen Ward. Stephen and I have known each other for 10 or 12 years. He was the worship pastor for a dear friend of mine, Tony Miller, who many of you may have seen at Swanwick or the One Event. And then he went to South Carolina for 8 years and was a worship pastor at a church of 17,000. That's not internet church. They have about another 10,000 on the internet. That's bums in seats every weekend. 5,000 seat auditorium filled multiple times, plus other campuses. So in the main campus, they would have 10, 15,000 people every weekend. And he quit that, stepped out in faith on a word from God, bought a big RV that looks like a tour bus, packed his family up, and travels around the U.S. He'll show you a picture of it if you want to see it. It's actually pretty amazing. And just carries the presence of God with him. And I told him tonight, I said, you're going to love this place because they understand the presence of God and they're hungry for the presence of God. So he'd never been to the UK, so I invited him to come, and he had wanted to come. We had talked about it for years, and on this trip, I just invited him to come, and he went and got a passport so he could come, and he's here, and this is his first trip to the UK. Would you give him a big hand and just tell him you appreciate him coming? And then I have my son, Cody, with me tonight. Everybody welcome Cody. This is my only begotten son in whom I am well pleased. But he does need a wife because I want grandchildren eventually. So I'm taking applications over to the side. If you have a daughter, granddaughter, niece, whatever, great-granddaughter, you know, I don't know, just see me. I believe in the dowry system. We'll work something out. So please, I've not had any takers. I've been trying for about 18 months, and I did have, well, never mind. I had three, but those didn't work out, so I'm just joking, kind of. I almost didn't come this year. I've been coming to the UK for 17 years in January. This is the 17th or 8th, actually this 18th year that I've been coming since January 2000. So if you include that, this is the 18th year. And I almost didn't come this year, and the Holy Spirit just arrested me about 4, 5, 6 months ago and said, you've got to come. You've got to go. Because I thought maybe my time or my season of doing that is over. And I must say that there's been something incredible happening this time. The meetings have just been incredible. And I was meant to go, we thought, to London. This is our 12th service, 11th or 12th service in 5 or 6 days in about 7 or 8 towns and cities. We've been from Romsey near Southampton to Birmingham to Wolverhampton to Coventry to Lincoln to Hull to Chesterfield and over to here, multiple meetings in some places, and I may never get Stephen back because I wore him out, bless him. But we were meant to go from Coventry to London near Wembley and then back to Chesterfield, and the church in London, it's a church of a couple thousand, and their basement had flooded. And the pastor said, it's just not a good time to have a guest. I mean, it had been booked for, it was the first one I booked 5, 6, 7 months ago. And he said, I just need to cancel like 6 days out. And so I thought, who's crazy enough to have you on a Sunday morning 6 days away? So I called Jared Cooper, and he said, yes, let's do it. Told him about Stephen, and he went and found him on the internet and said, mate, get him here. And so then instead of going Coventry down to London, back to Chesterfield, we kind of went to Hull, and Lincoln's almost on the way. Ish. It's closer than Wembley. And so Stu and Irene called and said, hey, can you come through Lincoln? We'll have a meal. And I said, okay. And then I said, instead of a meal, let's have a meeting. And Sue said, but it's not planned, and nobody will come. I said, well, if 10 people come, we'll have a meeting for 10 people. I said, let's put it on social media, see what happens. He said, okay, I'm game if you are, but don't be disappointed if nobody shows up. I said, I won't be. Jesus will show up. We'll show up. I'd rather sit in the presence of God than eat a curry anyway. I love curry, but, you know. And so we did, and I put out a Facebook Live. Over 3,000 people viewed it. It was shared 40 or 50 times. And on Saturday night, with 36 hours notice, people came from Peterborough, from Nottingham, from Birmingham, from Sleaford, from Grimsby, from Norwich. And the building was packed, standing room on the floor and pouring into the balcony. That's hunger, folks. Then we had an unbelievable meeting that night. The presence of God was as strong as I've seen it anywhere. Then we went to Hull and had a same kind of a thing. And then we come here tonight and look around this room. It's packed. What do we call that? Chocker blocked or chocker something. I used to speak English. It's been a while. I'm mostly bilingual. I speak Texan and English most of the time. Chocker. And there's just a sense that people are more up for it than ever before. And I just sense that tonight, even God just interrupted this meeting. Matt was supposed to take it and make a proper introduction and the things you do and all of that, but I just didn't want to lose that moment. And tonight I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about this word that God has given me. I'm not saying that it's the word of the Lord, but it is a word from God. And in Psalms 84, verse 4, it says, blessed is the man who dwells in the house. There's a blessing when you dwell in the house of God. Whatever house you're connected with, whatever church that you're a part of, there's a blessing when you dwell in the house. And it says they'll keep praising God. But then it says, blessed is the man whose heart, in verse 5, is set on pilgrimage. That makes no sense. Blessed is the man who dwells in the house. But blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. How do you do both? It's not either or, it's both and, because you understand that when we dwell in the house of God is a family that's on a journey. And there's something that happens when we believe God to go and journey together to this place called Zion. If you kept reading through verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Then in verse 6, it says that they shall all, 6 or 7, it says that they shall all see God in Zion. They shall all appear before God in Zion. What is Zion? The city of God. So the family of God has a blessing when they dwell together, and then there's another blessing when they keep journeying together. And I've just walked with many of you enough to know that you've been on a long journey. And some of us, it's like going up a mountain. I don't know if we have the picture of that mountain. But it's like going up. We have a picture of a mountain. There it is. When you're climbing this mountain, you wouldn't go straight up it. You would go around it, or at least zigzag through it. But sometimes when we step out in faith, it feels like we're just going round in circles. But what we really don't realize is we're ascending, because the call of God is higher. Isaiah chapter 2 says that they will begin to, many will come and say, let us go up higher. Let us ascend to the mountain of Zion, the hill of the Lord. So there's a call of God higher. Somebody say higher. There's an ascension in God, but many times we don't feel like we're going up higher, but actually we are. As you go around, the journey is taking you this way. Up. Everyone say up. It's like there's a shift that's taking place. In a manual transmission, if it was in America, I'd do it over here, but in the UK, it'd be over here. In your car, when you shift gears, you start in first gear, and you can go from about 0 to 10 or 15, and then you have to shift. Everyone say shift. Then you have to go from second to third, and you shift. And then you go from third to fourth, and you... Then you go from fourth to fifth, and you... But when you shift into overdrive or into fifth, it's different than every other gear. Johnny, you can go so far in first, and then you've got to hit another gear. Then you can go so far in second, then you've got to hit another gear. Then you can go so far in third, and the engine's RPMs get too high, and you got to go again, and you max out that level. But once you hit fifth, something is different, because at that point you can get maximum performance out of that car. And I've come to prophesy to somebody that you've done everything you can do at the level that you've been at, and it's time to shift. Somebody say shift. There's a shift in the spirit. There's a shift in the atmosphere. There's a shifting of faith. There's a shifting of expectation. There's a shifting of people. There's a shifting of mentality. There's a shifting of systems within churches. Boy, that's going to hit some of you next week. But when you hit that gear, it's different. It's like that mountain. You go up and up and up and up and up. But what happens when you get to the summit? What happens when you arrive at the top? There's only one place to go at that point, and it's over the top. Somebody say over the top. And that's the word for 2017, is it's time to go over the top. Somebody say over the top. Now listen, I've been in England, I lived in England, I've been coming to England for a long time, and I understand, we don't like that phrase. Actually, when I started praying, and the Lord gave me that phrase. I said to God, that won't work in England. I said, they don't like that phrase. He said, well, tell them what I have to say about it, and they will. I understand it has a little bit of a negative connotation, but I've learned its origins. The origins were in World War I, where the British soldiers were in the trenches. And the general would look at them and say, let's go over the top. And when they went over the top, they were risking their lives. Many of them knew, I will die when I go over the top. Some of them, it was recorded, they sweated blood like Jesus at Gethsemane over the stress of going over the top. In 1980s, it was branded or shortened to OTT. I say that in America because I've been in England so much. I'll say OTT and everyone says, what's OTT? They don't understand. It's over the top. Come on, it's not rocket science. OTT, over the top. I'm talking about going up. They don't. So I'm teaching the Americans OTT. And I understand in England now, after the 80s, when we talk about OTT, it meant that it's outrageous. It's almost foolish. It's a bit OTT, don't you think? It's a bit OTT. But think with me. General Jesus is in the trenches. And when he says, let's go over the top, we have nothing to fear. You say, wait a minute, but if I go over the top, I could die. Well, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I live, but I live the life I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So listen, you already died. And they can't kill a dead man or woman. And so when you go over the top, if you already died, it's going to be okay. And so people get afraid of, what will people think if I go over the top? What will it look like if I go over the top? What will people... It doesn't matter, because God is an over-the-top God. Grace is over the top. God's love is over the top. It's outrageous. It's extravagant. God has streets of gold and pearly gates. That's a little OTT. I'm so glad Jesus wasn't afraid of going over the top. I'm glad he didn't say, could I just have 2 stripes on my back, not 39? Could I shed 3 drops of blood, not all my blood? Could I not have a crown of thorns? No, he took it all, and he wasn't afraid to go over the top. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is as over the top as you can get. And I've got an over the top God, so I'm not afraid to go over the top. Somebody say, over the top. I think it's time for some over the top praise. David danced like a crazy man. That was over the top. And Michael said, that's a little OTT, David. And he said, you haven't seen anything yet, woman. I'm about to become more undignified than this. I don't care. David danced down to his pants. It was a pants dance. Kings don't dance in their pants. And I know what pants are. But read your Bible. That's what he did. I believe it's time for some radical, crazy praise. Say, what will people think? I just care what Jesus thinks. I don't care what anybody else thinks. He saved me. He delivered me. He rescued me. He's done so. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. He gave me a new mind. Somebody ought to take 10 seconds and just praise God over the top, right where you are. Just praise Him for a minute. Okay, you can sit down. Y'all are going over the top. What's wrong with you? You're not British. You understand, I'm saying that with all the deepest affection in my heart. I love England with all of my heart. I've given a significant portion of my life to this nation. How about over the top serving? See, over the top's different for different people. For some people, over the top would be joining the church rota once. For some, it would be getting on it once a month. Or instead of once a month, twice a month. Or every week. I can't breathe. See, when you go over the top, your ceiling becomes your floor. See, if I get on top of this building, what was my ceiling becomes my... So if you're going to go over the top, what used to be the maximum becomes the minimum. How about over the top prayers? Audacious, crazy faith. How about over-the-top generosity? Uh-oh, the American's going to talk about money. I only do it because God did. As a matter of fact, there are 2,000 scriptures on money, 500 on faith, 500 on love. So God talked more, four times more about money than faith and love. Why? Because it's the most important? No, it's the least important. And if we can't get that right, we can't get anything else right. So I believe God wants to take you over the top in your finances, and to take you over the top in your living, you got to go over the top in your giving. And your ceiling becomes your floor. Everybody has two offerings they give. Besides their tithe, they have two offerings they give. One is like just their standard. If an offering's taken, okay, I throw in a fiver or a tenner or a 20, whatever. They just kind of have a standard offering. It's just what I do. And it's more like a tip. A British tip, not an American tip. It's a difference. That's very cheeky. Stop it. Stop it. Many times that's what we do. But over the years, my regular offering has gone from here to here to here to here. And I did it by adding naughts. Zeros. Not on the left side of the number, on the right side. So I'll add all the numbers I can on the left side, but not on the right side. And now what used to be a stretch is something I do on a regular basis. And then there's a second offering, and that's the biggest one we ever give. It's the most we've ever given one time. And every few years, I ask God to take me to another level and give me faith to go over the top. So I remember the first time I gave $500, it scared me to death. Then $1,000, it scared me to death. Then $5,000 scared me even more to death. $10,000 scared me to death. But one day, I'm going to write a check for $100,000. But I've given those other figures, I just kept adding zeros. But one day, I'm going to do it. And if I don't get to the next one, I believe He will. Because my ceiling will be His floor. And one day He'll write checks for $1 million to the kingdom. Some of you say, oh, I don't think you should be talking about that. The kingdom takes finance. Right? Somebody say, I'm going over the top. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we're going over the top. What happens? Watch this and I'll be finished. When you go over the top, you see new possibilities. You see new horizons. You quit seeing the limitation of the mountain. You quit seeing the constraint. And you start seeing what could be next. And I believe there's a cry in God's people for what's next. It's been great, but what's next? Not only what's next, but who's next? Who's going to be the next Billy Graham? Who's going to be the next R.T. Kendall? Who's going to be the next great songwriter? Who's going to be the next great entrepreneur that finances the kingdom? Who's going to be the next Amy Carmichael or the next David Livingstone? What I've come to realize is you don't have to be God's first choice to be His next choice. I've had three prophetic words that God had picked three people before me to come to Denton and do what I'm doing. But they all quit. I was not God's first choice. My wife gets all sad about that. Dwayne, that's a terrible word. Why do we keep getting that prophecy? We're God's leftovers. She said, I don't like it. I feel insignificant. I said, we hear that differently. I don't care if God, I'm God's first choice as long as I'm His next choice. I don't care. Listen, they quit. I'm not quitting. They gave up. I'm not giving up. They let it go. I picked it up. I feel sorry for them, but I'm just glad God picked me. And I believe there's a cry in the UK saying, God, pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. It's like on the school ground. Do you do that in England? It's a cruel game in America where they pick sides and pick teams. My son was the kid that got picked first. Actually, he was the one picking the kids that I didn't like when I was a kid. But I was the one that got picked last. But I don't care when I get picked as long as I get picked. And there's something in my heart that says, God, I'm here. Pick me. Can somebody just put your hand in the air and say, God, pick me. Pick me. Pick me. I'll go. I'll do it. And I went on our 25th wedding anniversary, and she had found this place in Florence, Italy called, we went on a Mediterranean cruise and we had a blast, and we went to Florence, and there's a place called Michelangelo's Piazza. There's all these steps to go up to it, and then there's this view that they say is breathtaking. So we walked 2 miles to get there, and then you look up and as far as you can see are steps. So we go up, and we go up, plateau, go up, plateau, go up, plateau, go up, and then we get to what looked like the top from the bottom, and then it turns and has that many more steps again. At that moment, I lost my will to live. I was cursing TripAdvisor for telling us to do this and praying in tongues for my wife. But finally, as we kept stepping up and stepping up, we stepped over and we walked to the edge. The first thing I did was get a bottle of water. A bottle of water. The first time I've mixed American and English, but a bottle of water. Have a bottle of water, please. Water. And I sat down and I saw things I'd never seen. I saw what I would not have seen if I hadn't kept going up and over the top. And it was outrageous. was extravagant and it was breathtaking. And I realized I can go anywhere from here. And I just sense God is saying, if you'll have over the top faith to bring my over the top grace into the now, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see the limitations go. You're going to see the boundaries go. You're going to start seeing increase. As we walk back down, there were some Americans coming up, and I heard a father and wife and four teenagers. And the dad said, I'm not going up these steps. They were about a third of the way up. And we heard their accent, they heard ours, and he said, is it much further? And I said, no. I lied. I had to repent for lying. Then he said, is it worth it? And then I didn't lie. I said, it's worth every step. Don't quit. And he said, I never would have gone without you. So maybe God sent two crazy Texans and one crazy South Carolinian to come and say, we've seen what's over the top. And it's worth the journey. It's worth the climb. And God's taking limits off. Can you just close your eyes and begin to see the possibility? Stephen, sing it. No limits.
No limits.
Just let God show you a picture. Take the limits off of my past disappointment, failure. So over the top. Why you pray over the top prayers. Why you're an over the top intercessor. But God says, I understand because I made you that way. So never apologize. Not that you are. But never apologize for how I made you. There's a pastoral gift in your heart. You'll pastor God's people. You'll shepherd them. You'll care for them. Strong pastoral gift. You'll pastor the people of God. You'll shepherd them. You'll care for them. God will show you how to feed them.
Jesus.
This lady in the purple sweater, Daddy just wants you to know you didn't wear that sweater by accident. Purple is the color of royalty, and you are the daughter of a king, and he just wants to love on you tonight. And he wants to tell you thank you for being faithful. Thank you for staying in relationship when it would have been easier to break relationship. Thank you for loving and not getting bitter and not living in unforgiveness when yes. people disappointed you. Thank you yes. for staying faithful. Faithful to me and faithful to those I gave to you. And you never told anybody but me. Hear the Father saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, one of the first prophecies I ever gave you, I said God was enlarging your territory. And he was taking you from, I can't ever remember if whether A1 or 4 is bigger, but from the little one to the big one. But God says, now I'm taking the frame away. And I'm painting a landscape and a horizon because you are now setting up the vision for a legacy that will outlast you for many generations. And you swapped from one size to the next, but now it's time to go to maximum potential. It's time to get into overdrive. It's time to take this vehicle farther than it's ever been. But there's some adjustments that are going to take place, and it's going to take radical faith. It's easy to walk on water when you're 20. It's harder to walk on water when you're well older than 20. As am I. But God says it's about legacy now. It's about legacy. And what you leave for the next generation will have no borders. It will be a horizon. The blood of Jesus, just like that red coat, is covering you. It's covering you. I hear God saying, I got it covered. So I made a mistake. He said, I got it covered. I blew it. He said, I got it covered. It's covered by the blood. And the enemy wants to keep you living in the shame of yesterday's mistake. But God says, I don't even see it. It's covered. I got you covered. And he says, it wasn't really your fault anyway. But God's taking you from a victim to a victor. He's taking you from being overcome to being an overcomer. And you will teach many girls how to rise up out of the ashes and dance their way on injustice and dance. God's given you your dance. The devil tried to steal your dance. Don't let disappointment stop you from your divine appointment because your destiny is big. Baby, you need to get your sunglasses out because your future is bright. I'm trying to finish. I promise. Daddy said to tell you that you're not late. It's not over. I haven't forgotten you, and you cannot hide. Because I have a seat. I have a seat at the table for you. And I've prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And no enemy can overcome you, because goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. And even though it may seem like you've been sitting in the very back, God said in 2017, I'm moving you from the back row to the front row. I saved a seat for you at the table, and this is your time. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm going over the top. Come on, say, we're going over the top. I'm over. I'm over. I'm not under. I'm over. There's no limit. No boundaries. I see increase all around me. Now give him one more praise. Come on, somebody give him one more praise. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God like you believe it.